106.5. From Buck's Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between, an insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday morning. Text line if you want to get in touch with the show host, me, 251-343-0106. That's how you get in touch with the program. Coming up on the program, Scott Butcher from the Trustful Tribune will kick us off here in about 30 minutes. Also on the program, Dick Brubaker. And then we'll wrap it up in the 11 o'clock hour with the legendary Will Hampson from P2 Public Affairs, as we do every Tuesday. So make sure that you stick around for that. A few things. We'll start here, kind of go through some news items. Lindsey Graham's sister, the interim U.S. Senator, that's until the general election in November. There'll be a primary August 11th. Seems to be a very popular day for elections. So they'll do that, and we'll have a new U.S. senator from South Carolina. That's kind of one of those seats has kind of bounced around, I guess, since the death of Strom Thurmond. Well, you had Jim DeMint for a while, and obviously you have Tim Scott, and now Lindsey Graham, he's been there quite a bit. You wonder if this is going to be, you watch this election and you wonder whoever, is the Republican nominee. And I have no read on that at all. I haven't really done much homework on the state of South Carolina politics. Probably won't be Nancy Mace. We'll ask Nancy Mace's former communications director, Will Hampson, about South Carolina when he gets on. He knows the state pretty well. But we'll ask him where that's going to go. And is this one of these elections where you're electing a senator and it's going to be for the next 20 years? Does it feel that way to you? Well, not to you, but to whoever's understands South Carolina politics. You feel like Katie Britt in Alabama is going to be around for a while. Not sure about Barry Moore. Tommy Tuberville, I would have thought at least two terms, but turned out I was wrong about that. You look at, otherwise, Richard Shelby, Jeff Sessions served quite a bit, quite a lengthy amount of time. But South Carolina's kind of like Alabama in that regard. And, whatever emerges as the U.S. senator there, it's not going to be the same as Lindsey Graham. I don't think you're going to get another neoconservative, sympathetic type. South Carolina will surprise you. Maybe they'll dump a bunch of money and get an establishment kind of candidate in there. But I really have no read on that whatsoever. How about this? The lead at 1819 News. So yesterday, Tommy Tuberville spoke to the Sheriff's Association in Opelika. They have kind of a golf resort. Robert Trent Jones Trail. Been there a few times. And they gathered there yesterday. And he laid out some sort of state policy perspectives. Number one, data centers, don't try to stop them. They're coming. How do you feel about that? I tell you how I feel about it. If you don't want a data center in your backyard, then you ought to have some recourse, but the horrors of data centers are a little exaggerated. We have ways of producing more electricity in this state if we so choose, and expanding the grid and expanding capacity. We have ways of doing that. They want, if utility rates get too expensive in Alabama, then there are ways to fix this. And I never was really a big believer in the water. I mean, maybe it's some places where you have 20 data centers. But, like, if you want to build a data center in Lowndes County or in Choctaw County or wherever, off the beaten path, I just, what else are you going to do with the land if you own it? So, anyway, he says, well, don't try to stop it. It's coming. We're going to build it. We got to keep up with the, we got to keep up with the Chinese. The other thing he said, though, that was more remarkable is about our prison situation. And it's a mess. Department of Corrections, and you had a 2021, and we talked about it on this program, you had a special session. And it was like way too good to be true. And Steve Klaus, and I think an honorable gentleman, and this was my understanding, he was the chairman of the House General Fund Committee, and he sort of ran point on a lot of this. And he offered like a really good explanation. He's like, okay, look, we got this CARES Act money from COVID that we'll be able to put toward these prisons. Now, other states are giving tax breaks. But essentially, it's like, well, if it's going to be a net benefit to the taxpayers of the state because the federal government's coming and they're going to impose their will on the state of Alabama if we don't do something. And then you're going to have to see some kind of revenue generating policy for the government. What do you want to do? And they said, but because we have been so frugal and prudent with our budgeting in the state of Alabama, we have surpluses. And that will cover a third of it. So all we got to do is bond one third and we could build two new prisons. About $600 million each. One in Elmore County, one in Escambia County. And we've already done all the engineering. Governor Ivey, her plan fell through. She wanted to, remember, go around the legislature. It was going to be this lease, this public-private partnership. And a private company was going to come in, build two prisons or three prisons or whatever it was. And the state of Alabama would just essentially rent the space. You drive up, everything would be ADOC, Alabama Department of Corrections. You wouldn't know that somebody else owned it. And then at the end of 30 years, they'll sell it to the state for a dollar. What a deal. Well, one problem, we were in the middle of this Black Lives Matter phenomenon. And the big bonding houses said, no, we think there are too many. There are way too many prisons in America incarcerating African Americans. That plan fell apart. I don't know if that was all it. It just seems kind of weird that the governor can't go out or a private company can't bond something, but then the state of Alabama and the legislature can. But essentially, that's what had to happen. And man, if you just read Jay Town and all of these people telling us, guys, we got to do this. We got to do this. It's going to be 1980s all over again. It's going to be just like California. They're going to put our prison system in a receivership. The federal government will come in, take it over, run it, and then they'll send us an invoice for what we owe them. And that's going to be 10 times as much as it would be if we just did it this way. You got to act now. We got to move. We got to move quick. And they just, they did. They moved quick. They gave him everything that the governor asked for. And then, like, just like 2 years, 3 years later, instead of building two, this is a no-bid contract situation. Construction management. Can't waste any time. Got to move fast. And they just sort of pick their own contractors. And next thing you know, we've already spent all the money. It's Tommy Tuberville. He thinks some people are going to go to jail for some of these, some of these cost overruns in the Department of Corrections. Had a sheriff ask. This is what he asked. One of the things about law enforcement, particularly sheriffs, have an issue is Department of Correction. They're not our friends in a lot of ways. Can you help us? Here's Tuberville's response. Department of Corrections is getting ready for a totally change. You won't recognize it in a next time in a year. It will change. We're leaking oil bad. I don't know where the money is going. We're building one prison over there. It's supposed to be $6 million, and then it's about $1.3 or $4 billion. Now they asked for $100 million, another $100 million last week. They better get all they can because some of their asses are going to be in the same jail. I'm sick and tired of all these change orders costing millions. It's just coming out of our pockets. Crazy. We've been talking to people all over the country. One good thing about being in the Senate, I got a dozen guys that have been governors up there, and I talked to them if I could. What did you do in corrections? What did you do in this situation? What worked for you? What didn't work? We had a good relationship. Sat down and talked to for hours with people about the good things and the bad things, some things to do and some things not to do. And then he adds, corrections, that's the first thing that always comes up about how to handle it. There's not a lot of good correction states. There's some. Florida has got a good one. We talked about it with them. We are going to find somewhere to put them. We're not going to put them back out on the streets. If we could convict them, we're going to put them in there. Nobody likes to spend money on prisons, but unfortunately, we're in a situation where the federal government says, you've got to build it. We've got another one planned, but we don't have money for it. We need to run the ones we have. Unfortunately, we're not going to use your jails. We're not going to have to use your jails, but you're already full anyway. It will be a total change of what we're doing, how we're doing it. We're going to get input from y'all, what you've seen, what's going on. That this is your expertise. This is a pretty strong statement to say someone's going to put their asses in jail. Just suggesting some wrongdoing there, which, you know, how is... You have to question how this happens. How did they lowball the cost? When Tommy Tuberville takes over as governor, it's gonna, the way one lawmaker described it to me, he's gonna walk into the office, gonna look like the Grinch who stole Christmas, and the Ivy administration is gonna spend every dime it can on the way out the door, max out all the credit cards, do everything it can. And then she's going to walk out of office and just leave this next administration with nothing. That's very ominous for the state of Alabama, I believe. 251-343-0106. We'll get to your text on the other side. Stick around. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Tuesday morning. Scott Buttram coming up in the next segment, so make sure you stick around for that. Jason Rice, good morning, Jeff. Between the noncommittal stance on gambling and his willingness to side with business over the citizenry, coach's opinions are concerning. Perhaps this is what happens when he knows he's already won. I mean, I think we had this perception of Tommy Tuberville kind of based on his abortion stance with the military. And, you know, you didn't really have a true campaign. And the media didn't really help here because they are so fixated on the Florida townhouse or condominium or whatever. It's not, you know, the media have, like, laser-focused on, honed in on residency that is a non-issue as far as I'm concerned. Not really concerned about anything else. Not really concerned about anything dealing with directly with state government. We're just going to, because Alabama's going to elect a Republican, we're just going to try to challenge on technicality because we can't win in the arena of ideas. Democratic Party policy, and the media do kind of, you know, lean Democrat, even in this state. We're not going to talk about gambling. They're all for gambling anyway, so they're probably aligned with him. You know, as long as it's more money for government, I guess. I don't know. But I think that's part of the problem. He's been asked, and, you know, some of it's good. You can't tell me, like, this won't be an upgrade from what we have now. I'm, you know, as much scrutiny as we're applying to Mitch McConnell, as much scrutiny as we apply to Joe Biden, there just seems to be a different standard for Kay Ivey, especially now that she's gonna she's greenlit a $7.70 each way toll plan with no explanation. No one's seen Kay Ivey. There's no press conference, no accountability there, but it's fine. You just get to hear it on shows like this by chronic malcontent radio host Jeff Poor. Mike, I heard that the data centers are actually what's making the frogs gay and the chemicals in the water, like Alex Jones has said. Also, it was reported on the Coast to Coast AM that the solar farms are actually homing beacons for Zerg from the dark planet so he could send their armies of crab people to conquer Earth. That's quite complex. Let's see here. Thank you for your endorsement. Maybe the next data center will be in Fairhope. Well, they wouldn't put it in Fairhope because the property's too expensive. They put these things, generally speaking, where they could buy cheap land and lands, you know, what land is available, they're sticking, you know, subdivisions on. Dabo Sweeney solves Clemson's problems and gives us another coach in the Senate. On a serious note, I have no read on it either. That would be remarkable, Dabo Sweeney. Is South Carolina like Alabama? Would the people of that state go for the Clemson coach? Like Tommy Tuberville, maybe Dabo would need to sit out or go coach at some other places for 2 years and then relocate back in South Carolina. Ben, I'd love to hear his thoughts on Aldott. I think that's a mess, guys. Paul DeMarco and I talk about this sometimes, and when Fob James took over the first time he was governor for George Wallace. I guess Wallace was trying to set himself up for another presidential run despite the assassination attempt. It kind of left things in very dire straits when he took over.
Ooh, my governor.
So is this sort of the same scenario we're looking at beginning of next year? We'll see. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. To the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. At the floor of Bama. Thanks for staying with us on this Tuesday morning, 251-343-0106. Hit me up on that text line, and we will proceed from there. Joining us now, as promised, regular on the show from the Trestle Tribune, my friend Scott Buttram is with us. Scott, how are you?
I'm well. How are you doing this morning?
Doing well. Thanks. Thanks for making time for us. We do appreciate it. Yeah. I guess the news, we spent time on this already in the program. Coach yesterday at Opelika to the Sheriff's Association, really laid down the hammer and talking about our prisons and says, you know, some people are going to wind up in jail. I believe he said their asses are going to be in jail or something. My sort of take on a lot of what's going on in state government, when Tommy Tuberville takes over in 2027, it's going to look like the Grinch who stole Christmas. It is going to be wiped out. They're going to max out every credit card. There won't be anything left when Ivey's administration walks away from the governor's suite.
I need to be careful about what now I say what I'm going to say. I do not have any inside information from the Tuberville camp. I have not spoken to anybody there about it. We are working on our, what we refer to as our statewide political interviews right now, which means we're lining up the Republican and Democrat nominees for governor, lieutenant governor, secretary of state, attorney general, and the U.S. Senate race, since it's falling at the same time. We interviewed Caroline Dobson yesterday. We've got Everett West, the Democrat candidate for Senate, coming in today. And we have communicated with the Tuberville people, but I don't want to misspeak and I don't want to mislead. We have not discussed this particular issue or any details with this campaign. That said, I am hearing from others who anticipate going in to office at the same time that we anticipate Governor Tuberville taking over the governor's mansion. And Jeff, I got to tell you, this you called this a while back. This seems to be a prevailing theme in cleaning up Montgomery, cutting dead wood and tossing it out. And so I did not hear Tuberville's comments. I saw a little bit about him speaking in Lee County, but didn't really have any of the details until you just shared that. But it's falling in line with an awful lot of things we're hearing. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah, and, you know, there's just, like, we excuse too much from this governor, I think.
I agree.
I don't understand. I mean, here we've spent, like, a week on Mitch McConnell conspiracy theories. Well, all these people who are doing that, let me introduce you to the governor of Alabama, who no one's seen, you know, and hasn't given an interview in like 5 years to a media outlet. Yeah. And who knows, like, who's running the show. So just a little background here. I'll say this. The Alabama Department of Transportation just announced a $7.70 baseline each way toll. Now, there's discounts and things you could do to mitigate that expense. Who's calling that shot? Who made that decision? And you're gonna tell me it was Kay Ivey? I'm very skeptical of that. There's no accountability, and our legislators they're not gonna criticize her. What's going on here?
And you're right, it's not Kay Ivey. I'm assuming that is the director of the Alabama Department of Transportation.
He looks like Mitch McConnell around the state house too. I mean,
exactly. So we've got, and listen, if if future Governor Tuberville does not take the bull by the horns and does not put his fingerprints and his hands on the throats of political appointees, this is going to continue. And look, we already, your audience, we say it all the time, Jeff, we're preaching to the choir. These people are educated. They take the time to listen. They take the time to learn. So I don't blame your audience. And I hate to waste their time hearing this over and over and over when I don't think they're responsible. But this all comes back to voter apathy. All right, Tuberville is the one who pushed the PSC becoming an advisory committee and give him a cabinet-level governor political appointee that's going to oversee Alabama Power. I don't have a good feeling about that. But if he doesn't get the right person there on the position he asked for, what hope do we have that he is going to get the right appointee over ALDOT, over the Alabama Department of Corrections, over the Alabama Tourism Board, for Christ's sakes? We have so much dead wood in Montgomery who is taking up space, collecting checks, and absolutely doing nothing or contributing to the same old, same old, same old, that is just ridiculous in what is supposed to be the reddest state.
Right.
Governor Abbey, I can't fault Governor Abbey. She's been there 10 years because of the voters of Alabama. All right. Passes the largest tax in state history and wins in a landslide. I just mentioned to you, we're lining up all these interviews or governor, lieutenant governor, AG, secretary of state, the Senate race. Jeff, this is the third, this is the third election cycle we have done this. Guess who the only person in all those years that never showed up for an interview?
It was Kay Ivey, yeah.
It was Kay Ivey. And Will Ainsworth drove in. Steve Marshall came in. Every single candidate on the Democrat side and on the Republican side. And one year, even the Libertarians were on the ballot. We invited them, and they showed up. But Kay Ivey never came. And the people of Alabama never asked her to pay a price for that. She passed the biggest tax in state history and got reelected by a landslide. She called the COVID, the disease of the unvaccinated and gets reelected by a landslide. I mean, it's no one's fault but the voters.
Well, there's this, though, too.
What she wants to do when the voters give her the highest approval ratings in history and the biggest wins in history.
There's some back room dealing with that. And she's what they did in 18 and in 20 and 22, probably more so, was like, They cut deals with people not to run against her. And that's why you get Lindy Blanchard and Tim James in 22.
That's
in
right.
18, I thought she had a good slate of candidates. I thought Tommy Battle, especially.
Yep.
Now he's, maybe not the most conservative, but very, very effective for the city of Huntsville.
Yep.
Bill Hightower, I don't know. And Scott Dawson, but still.
Yeah. Battle was legit.
Yeah.
And Huntsville's record proves that she did not show up and debate him. One time. And the voters said, hey, that's okay with us. These are the same voters, by the way, that were screaming Biden's not leaving his basement when he ran against Trump in 2020.
Yeah.
They left the basement. The same voters screaming that he's hiding, turned around and elected Kay Ivey. Again, I don't blaming Kay Ivey is like blaming somebody for being overpaid just because they accepted a raise that was offered.
Well, you would expect this. Like, why do you want to do this? Like, why are you spending this, these precious years left on this planet? And you're just kind of like, you're clearly not the decision maker here. You're not, you're not Ron DeSantis or Billy or any of these guys, Kemp. It's a very underwhelming, but we have ourselves to blame on another aspect, probably. This electing people like Robert Bentley, and, yep. and Don Siegelman, yep. and people just wanted they wanted their governor to be seen and not heard, I guess. I can't explain that phenomenon. But 10 years is a long time of that.
A long time. And we know that we have a voter apathy problem in the state of Alabama. We know that we have a little bit of a voter ignorance problem, and that voters won't take the time to look into things and try to understand them. And again, not talking about the listeners to your show, listeners to Dale's show, listeners to Wright's, those are listeners who are trying to be educated, trying to get it, trying to understand, and then going out there and executing, but they are few and far between. And we just had a primary, Jeff, where 11% of the registered Republican voters showed up to vote. That is why the optimism I have for Alabama is in future Governor Tommy Tuberville, is in the hope and belief and being told, as you are, that he is going to come in and clean house. Those were the words that were used. He will clean house. He is going to cut this dead wood you've been hearing about and been talking about. So if he does that, that brings me great optimism and great hope. If he doesn't, I don't know where we go from here.
I can't imagine that he will. I mean, now, will he clean house? Will every decision, every person he puts in place really check the box? And I'm yeah, you know, because he hasn't shown much here. Now, yesterday was kind of interesting because speaking to the Alabama Sheriff's Association, I mean, the questions he took from those sheriffs really were state focused. They weren't about what he was doing in the United States Senate. And he hasn't really, whenever you do start talking about 2027 and what you're going to do as governor, it's, well, I got to finish my work as senator. And now he's starting to, I guess, kind of pivot to that. I do wonder, you know, like, it's the other problem with it, Scott, is if he does come in, I mean, that system in Montgomery's been built to last. It's been around since the end of Reconstruction.
It's the swamp of all swamps.
Yeah. There's just people, and especially with a governor who's been there for 10 years, and you just become accustomed to the way things are done.
Oh, yeah. And she knew so many of those appointees before she got there, because she's been in politics a long time. She didn't want to upset the apple cart. Look how reluctant she was to change the director of the Alabama Department of Corrections while we're looking down the barrel of a federal lawsuit. And she's stuck with that guy forever and a day. I will say this. Again, going back to the interviews we're doing, one of the first campaigns that responded and has indicated in every way, yes, we are going to participate, we're going to set this up, we're going to do this, was the Tuberville campaign. In fact, they may have been the very first candidate group to respond and say, we're going to participate, we'll get with you and figure out how to do it. Obviously, those questions are going to be state-centric. That's what we think our audience wants to know. What are his plans if he becomes governor? I think we all assume he will. So we'll get an opportunity. I'm glad to see him shifting a little bit more to state issues. It's actually bothered me that he would make speeches supposedly about, you know, the potential of being governor, but then all the talk seemed to be federal. And I want to go back to something you said when you started this conversation, Jeff, that Some people's assets going to end up in jail over this prison deal. Again, you've been hearing that. I've been hearing that there could be serious issues with the way this project was handled. We know that they used basically a sleight of hand to make it a no-bid billion-dollar deal. So I would not be at all surprised to find out that there's been some double dealing in it. And I don't know who, I don't know what, and I don't know how, but I don't think Senator Tuberville is talking out of his rear end when he says that. I think he knows a lot more than we do. And I think he's probably just confirmed some of the rumors we've been hearing.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just, you're right. The way they did it, they wrote in that special session in 2021,
yeah,
they wrote the law, and with the operating under this supposition that we had to move fast.
Right.
So you can't tie our hand here.
It's 2021. We had to move fast.
Yeah. Well, you can't tie our hands here because we need the flexibility to be able to move fast.
Yeah.
And move money around. We don't have time to go through a big bid process or any of this. This is the way it has got to be.
Right.
And then they did it, and then they just abused it. They doubled the price of a prison.
Yes.
We can go from $600-700 million when it's all said and done of cost overruns.
That was before change orders started coming in.
So somebody either lied to us and lowballed the cost to get the public to go along. Because you know what was going on at the time, Scott, was there was this COVID money that the Trump administration at the time called the CARES Act. And other states in the South, in Florida, in Georgia, in Mississippi, and Tennessee, all of our neighbors were using at least a portion of that money to try to give some kind of tax relief, the gas tax, grocery tax, right, income tax, whatever. Right. We said, well, this is going to be better for you because we won't have to increase your taxes in the future because we got to build these prisons or the federal government's coming to get us.
Right.
And they didn't do that. And it was just kind of stunning. Yeah.
We're building one prison for the price of two.
Yeah, and with a no bid.
This one prison is not going to be enough. I mean, we're not even talking about that yet. This doesn't do anything for Tutwiler, which is the worst prison in the state.
Well, that's very medieval. So, but the talk was like, look, we got to do it this way. We got to move. We got to act here. And there's only like one or two contractors who are even capable of building a project of this magnitude. Yeah. Just so happens that one of them is in Montgomery, Alabama. But, you're kind of like, all right.
Yeah, because you're right. It's got to be this contractor. It's got to be this guy. We all knew as it was happening, the fix is in. It's in. But you're supposed to have balance from your legislator, people who step up and say, wait a minute.
They're terrified of her. If they were so scared of her, they would have pushed back. Now, there were a few. I think Rich Ringo in Tuscaloosa was really, really outspoken. He's no longer in the legislature, unfortunately. Arnold Mooney, some others, but no one wanted to get on, no one wanted to get on the governor's bad side because she would take away. This is another thing they do. They use your road dollars, your bridge dollars as leverage over you. You speak out against me. Well, I mean, you're not getting that repaving of that county road in Blount County or whatever.
If you're on board, you get anything, including an unneeded Western bypass.
Yeah. Well, congratulations.
I mean, that's the payoff to the Democratic Party for not fighting the gas tax, right? So this is the problem. At 65 years old, nothing has really ever changed in Alabama, whether it was under Democrat control for, half a century of my life or Republican control that we've got now. Nothing really changes. It is the swamp. It is elected officials who go to Montgomery with high deals and then almost immediately fall in line with protecting the institution of state government.
Right.
And I'm not sure there's a lot worth protecting in the Alabama state government.
I think you're right. Scott, we got to get out of here. Folks will find you online. How can they do so?
You can follow me on Twitter at Scott Mutfrom. I welcome you aboard. I make everybody mad, so I'll be glad to include any new folks in that group.
Scott, we appreciate your time. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Jim. Good talking to you.
All right. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Inside my head, before I reached 30, I'd be dead. But somehow on and on I go. I keep on rolling with the flow. Folks said that.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on this Tuesday morning. Dick Brubaker coming up in the next hour, so make sure You stay tuned for that. Sean does remind us Lou Burdette was a candidate. He got some traction down here. He just couldn't raise money and he just needed, I don't know. If he could run for something a little lower than governor, to come back. Could he have ran for like lieutenant governor? I think these people who run for these high offices, and I'd put Jared Hudson in that category. That, you know, they want Republican voters want to see, want you to try out at a, in a lower office. That wasn't true with Tommy Tuberville in his U.S. Senate run, but I guess you could say if you look at like Auburn head football coach, then that's sort of a prominent office, Donald Trump. But in the Liberdet, not a household name, not somebody who had a lot of name ID. And if he just done a little bit, I think ran for a lower office to build that name ID, would have made him a way more viable gubernatorial candidate. Text line 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Just glitter and shine.